How many believes he's near tonight? Amen. He said he would be, and he cannot lie. I'm so thankful that we can, you know, there's very, very little we can trust. There's very, very little that we can count on. And as time goes by, it seems to be less and less. But we can always count on him. And that's enough, right? To know him and to have his word and to be able to trust him. Imagine where we'd be tonight. Oh, no, don't do that. Imagine where we'd be tonight if we didn't have that rest. We didn't have that peace. We'd probably be at a pill cabinet or on a bar stool or somewhere else trying to settle down our spirit, right? But I'm so glad that no matter what we're going through, that there's a rest, there's a peace. Amen. He's all that I want. He's all that I ever need. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. Well, tonight we're excited to have our visiting minister tonight, all the way from Ghana, West Africa. We've never met anybody from there before, have we? God bless you, sister. It's so nice to have you with us tonight. Amen. And welcome home, twins. Amen. Remember our traveling brothers and sisters. We've got quite a few families that are out, and as was already mentioned, we're delayed in Dallas here tonight, and we're trusting they'll get home this evening. But you know, there's many more that are still out, and you know, and just may the Lord's hand be with each and every one, and may they come back safe, and may they come back revived and refreshed. Amen. And then we'll tag off and we'll leave. Okay. Amen. So I'm excited to have our brother Isaacson McLaughlin. He's come a long way to visit us tonight and minister for us. And we met in October of 2018 in Ugali, some meetings in Nigeria. And we just hit it off right away and just loved his spirit and his sincerity and his love of the Lord. And so he's a missionary and he's an evangelist and traveling far and wide to spread this message and to encourage wherever he can. And so we just want the Lord to richly bless him, give him a double portion as he's traveling and coming our direction. So as we normally do, you know, we would normally, when people come by, of course, they want to see some of the places that you hear about on tape. And unfortunately, I mean, this is the absolute hottest time of the year. And so I was trying to explain to Brother Isaacson why it wasn't a good idea. When it was 110 at the hotel, you know, it would be even hotter up there in the mountains. And not that we haven't done that before. I think the hottest hike we did was in August, and it was 113. And I swore I'd never do that again. And I haven't. It's just unfortunately not a good time for that. And then the storms and rain on top of it. So we did get to go up on top of the mountain yesterday and get some nice pictures and breathe that fresh air. We saw lightning striking, and as we were coming down the mountain, as you see those homes that are on the side of the mountain, you know, where all the poor people live. There was a beautiful, beautiful house up there that's kind of dome-shaped, got a dome-shaped roof. It got hit by lightning while we were up there, and so while we were coming down, we saw just smoke billowing off the top of the house. And then there was a bunch of people that were, I don't get this part, they were sitting on the guardrail. You know, and there wasn't much mountain between them. And they're watching the fire. I'm thinking, okay, so let's add run over pedestrians to a house on fire, you know. Fortunately, I don't think any of that took place. But it was, you just never know this time of year. So, without further ado, we want to just invite our brother to come and take his liberty here tonight. And so you're going to have to pull twice as hard because there's half as many of us. So you just pull and we'll just continue to have church together. Amen. Amen. So as our brother makes his way up, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Amen. How many can say that tonight? Yes, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Yes, Lord. Have your way, Lord. And so I lift my hand.
Saying, my faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary. My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary. Thy for me, oh. bow down our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight. Lord, we bless your name and we glorify you. We want to thank you for such a great privilege to come before your presence. Here we are, Lord, in our arm with no price to bring, but simply to thy throne we cling. Father, forgive our sins and our trespasses, our shortcomings and our transgressions. Amen. Dear Lord, you know the desires that lays in our heart. Lord, your people have come from far and near. Your word said no one comes before your presence and go back the same. We pray the Holy Spirit will come and minister unto us. Lord, give us more than we expected, Lord. You're the sick and afflicted among us tonight. Bring back the backslider home tonight. May new souls be born into thy kingdom, O God. Strengthen our feeble hands, O God. O Lord, won't you revive us again? That we shall praise thy holy name. Thank you for thy troubling mercies given to our brethren. Lord, we are so grateful for the good health. Thank you for the rains. Thank you for the sunshine. Once again, your servant is reporting to duty. Father, take me out of the way and have thy own way with thy people. Bless every soul, every heart, every body, every spirit. We bring under subjection every foul spirit that is here to style upon our liberty. May the name of the Lord alone be glorified and exalted. That the end will be careful to give you thy praise. We thank you, Lord. We bless your name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Shall we humbly be seated for a while? I greet you all tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank God for such a privilege to come before his presence to worship his holy name. Amen and amen. It's been almost 8 long years I met with Pastor Baker. He had a wonderful fellowship in the convention in Nigeria. And we have been in touch, and I thought of coming back, passing by here to see the things the prophet spoke about. You know, when you are reading it, it looks far from you. But when you see them with your eyes, it becomes real. Just like reading the Bible. Those things Jesus talked about, the disciples talk about, when you go to Israel, they become real. Amen and amen. And I learned so many things within these few days. If anybody doubt this message, I want to invite them to come to Arizona. You can see the footprints of the sons of time. I bring greetings from the family and the saints back home. They send their love and their greetings to you. I'm so happy to see our brother here also. I remember last year when he was coming to school, he was not nowhere closer by church. I said, don't worry, I have a good friend here. I gave his details across and he really felt home. May God bless you for your warm hospitality. We are grateful. Amen and amen. So tonight, we want to encourage ourselves and put the devil in his place and give God the glory. If your heart is blessed, you are free to say amen. Hallelujah. So we will read from the book of Corinthians. If you don't mind again, shall we be on our feet? Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7 to 9. We have many scriptures, but we will jump over and see what God has for us ahead. Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7 to 9. Then we'll read again from the book of Timothy. So Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7 to 9. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God had ordained before the world unto our glory. which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they have known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. That means there is something the devil doesn't know. And there is something you know. Hallelujah. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the hearts of men the things which God had prepared for them that loved him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let us read from the book of Timothy. There is another scripture here. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8 to 12. Now as James and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. James 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8 to 12. So do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Hallelujah. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecution, affliction, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. May the Lord that is blessed to the reading of his word, shall we humbly be seated. So my title tonight is From the Hall of Critics to the Hall of Fame. From the Hall of Critics to the Hall of Fame. I believe it's not more than 7 months or 8 months ago, and we saw in the news the Arizona Star. And the devil put some blackish across the message and did whatever he wanted to do. But I know God has his children. No matter what the devil will do, regardless how far the devil will go, God's children will still stay by his word. But the prophet of God has some good news for us here. And as it was now, so it was then. The pattern never changes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Did you hear that? The pattern never changes. I have some quotes here to read. And let's see what God has for us here. Maybe first I'll read from the message the ministry explained. It was preached in 1950-07-11. He said, but in every great picture, before it can be hung in the Hall of Fame, it has to go through the Hall of Critics. If that picture don't go through the Hall of Critics, it cannot be qualified to be hung in the Hall of Fame. It has to go through the Hall of Critics. And I believe the little church has went through the Hall of Critics, and now soon there will come a scream from the heavens, and God is going to hang it in the Hall of Fame. Amen. To take it out by the rapture. Yes. To take it up into glory. Amen. And we are seeing signs and wonders like we are today. Amen. To stimulate faith. In the midst of the mouth of critics, look away to Jesus. Let us look at the signs of times. And by taking away our attention from the critics and the rumors, let's listen to the still small voice within us. That still small voice within us is to stimulate faith. What faith? Rapturing faith. To believe that when he comes, that we will be raptured and caught up together to meet him in the air with those who have went before. Amen. Jesus Christ, our Savior, there was no name that was not called about him. He was called from the Messiah to Beelzebub. Even he himself. And his disciples were being called any name that the devil would throw against them. But regardless of whatever name that he was called, I am that I am. Hallelujah. He was a son of God, and no name that they will call him Beelzebub can change his position that God has placed him. And so as believers, we must know who we are in the Lord. Amen. There are a lot of noises outside. A lot of thunderings. A lot of things going on. But God has given us a sixth sense. And that sixth sense in us is to discern and listen to the still small voice. Hallelujah. When you go back again to read another quote from the Message Expectation, which was preached in 1950-04-05, Brother Abraham says, and you know, most all famous pictures, they don't just take any picture as famous. It must be a particular picture. It must meet a standard. It must meet a qualification for that picture to be noted as a famous picture. Hallelujah. Before they hang in a hall of fame, they have to go through the hall of critics first. And have to pass the critics. And when it passes the critics, then it can be hung in the hall of fame. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I think our little church, it passed through every criticism, being called every black and ugly name. When I was walking around Jeffersonville and I saw the Brown Tabernacle, I asked myself, did the people living in the neighborhood knew what God have done here? Or they just sit by and look at people coming all over the world to take pictures and go? Nothing ignited them to wonder what is causing the attraction here. If they have known that God visited this generation and passed by that way, hallelujah, it will mean more to them that we're coming from far. Amen, amen. Our little church has gone through a lot of criticism. It's been called every black and ugly name. But I think God is going to hang it in the hall of fame one of these mornings. He is going to take it up. And I want to be with them when they go. The psalmist said, Lord, I want to be in the number. Yes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We are going to read a scripture in the book of Revelation, chapter 12. No, sorry. We have first Revelation, chapter 3, rather. Revelation, chapter 3, verse 20 to 22. It says here, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and I will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. This scripture talks about our age. And the scripture here about a man standing behind the door and knocking, Brother Abraham used it many times. And he said great evangelists on the field use it in the great evangelistical campaign. Talking about God knocking the door of the individual human heart. But the prophet said it was not an individual heart God was knocking, But Christ was pushed out of the age. And Christ wanted to get to his church, but the programs and the things of the church has pushed him out, and they were not willing to take him in. So with this picture in mind, hallelujah, we want to use it as our case study and see what a prophet talk about this. There was a Greek artist who spent all his life to draw this. Hallelujah. When you hear what a prophet said about it, when the picture was done, it also went through what? The Hall of Critics. From the Message, I Stand at the Door and Knock, 57:12-08. He said, when the great artist, I can't call his name just at this time, painted a picture of Jesus knocking at the door. Any picture, before it can be made famous, it has to go to the Hall of Critics. The people who are famous artists who criticize the picture, they find all the flaws that is in it. So after the famous picture had went through practically the Hall of Critics, it was asked the man who gave the painting. A critic said, there is just one thing that I can find wrong with your picture. He said, you have forgotten the latch. You have forgotten to put the latch on the door. And the painter said, no, no, you misunderstand. If the latch was on the outside, he would have raised and go in. But the latch is on the inside. The person inside must lift the latch. But Abraham said, that is the way it is. Jesus, with all his mercy, with all his compassion, and I will say tonight, with all his power, with all his glory, yet you are the person that will let him in. God has put each and every one of us on a free moral agency. God does not force anyone. Hallelujah. God does not force anyone to worship him. God does not force anyone to believe his way. God does not force anyone to stand by the way. The latch is in you. You let him in or you reject him. You receive your healing or you reject your healing. Oh, praise the Lord. Jesus, with all his mercies, with all his compassion, yet you are the person to let him in or keep him out. You have the latch on your side. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When you continue with the same thoughts in the message to the Laodicean church age, it was preached again in 58:06-09 with the same picture as a base background. So this is very strange thing to see a man knocking on the door to be in the scripture. You see, what does anything that has not mean to us, it means much to God. To God, every little thing means much to him. I just forgot the artist's name who painted a famous picture of Jesus knocking at the door. I can't call his name. He's a Grecian artist, I believe. On all great pictures, before they can be hung in the Hall of Fame, they have to go through the Hall of Critics first. And then it just reminds me of the church. Before the church can ever take into glory, it has to go through the world of criticism. So we must not be wonder if the world criticizes this message. We must not be wonder if the denomination criticizes the prophets. We must not be wonder if this ministry is being criticized. Because it must bound to happen. It is scriptural. And it is a season. And it must be. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said that sometimes, he said, and it just reminds me of the church. Before the church can ever be taken to glory, it has to go through the world of criticism. And sometimes we try to shake, pull back from criticism. That is human nature. Everyone wants something good to be said about him. Don't you? Sure. We try to shake and pull back from criticism. Well, That's only testing. It's golden nuggets to you. The more the world criticizes this message, the more God vindicates it. You can imagine these seven peaks, these hills and mountains, and all the names that was given to those mountains, spelled from C-H-R-I-S-T, Christ. You can imagine God will allow an eagle image to be drawn on the mountain, or an eagle name to be written there. And you think God just did that for nothing? Hallelujah. Oh, how I wish to go to the Savigno Canyon. I said I wanted to go to the Sunset Mountain. I want to be where my prophet has been. Hallelujah. And surprisingly, the Mount Lemmon, it also has seven steps. All these things are talking about something. You got to be under a spiritual atmosphere to understand what God is doing. As the sun rises from the east and sets at the west, so would the gospel travel. God called Brother Abraham from the east and he brought him to the west. And he didn't bring him by an accident, but he brought him for a fulfillment of the scripture. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Just looking at a mountain alone is so much inspiration. He repeats it again. Is God in nugget to you? It's something that God has permitted to you to try you and to bring you through 100% pure gold that is shining. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, says the scripture. So the criticism, we welcome that, because that is where we have to put us through the very trials. So this artist, when a preacher was going through the hall of critics, there was one critic said, "Sir, I think your portrait of Christ is beautiful. And I think standing at the door and the fine anticipation and watching and waiting that someone would open. But sir, there is one thing wrong." That is, you haven't got any latch for him to go in at. And the artist said, "Oh, I painted it thus. You see, in this case, the latch is of the inside. You must do the opening. Christ does the knocking." Hallelujah. You have a part to play in the gospel. You have a part to play in the ministry. You don't come here and sit down like a wallflower. You have to get into the spirit. You have to get in the spirit of worship. Hallelujah. You got to help the preacher to preach. Because the spirit reveals things. And it reveals deeper things. As you get into the spirit, as you pull on the gift, God begins to speak to you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Last Sunday after the service in Las Cruces, we were having dinner. A call came from Dallas, Texas. He said, "We were blessed. The Lord spoke to me." That is how it is. Whether you are watching online or whether you are present, you must be part of the ministry. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The prophet said here, you must do the opening. Christ does the knocking. And that is the way it is with every person here tonight that is seeking God for anything. Are you seeking God for something? Are you believing God for something tonight? He is knocking at your door. You can do the opening. If but thou can believe, all things are possible. All things are possible to them that believe it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. He is knocking at the door, but you have to open up. You are the one that is under control. You are the one inside to open the door. But Abraham said the control tower of God is not in heaven. The control tower of God is in the heart of the believer. You sitting down here, you are the one controlling heaven. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You are the one that is under control. You are the one inside to open the door. If you need salvation, If he knocks, receive it. Amen. Don't push it out for tomorrow. Tonight, today, that is called today, is your day of visitation. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You can receive your healing tonight. You don't wait for the next doctor appointment. The scripture said, by my stripe, ye were healed. Amen. You were already healed before the foundation of the world. Amen. It's already finished works of grace on the cross for you. You need to open the latch. You need to open the door and receive your portion that God has for you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Whatever you need, if he knocks, receive it. Open the door. If you need a healing, open the door. Oh, there is a fountain filled with blood tonight. Oh, drawn from a man's vein. And when sinners plunge beneath that vein, they are free from every guilty stain. Hallelujah. There is burning healing tonight. There is no way we can preach the gospel without preaching divine healing. Hallelujah. Divine healing is part of the gospel. The prophet said 80% of the ministry of Jesus was divine healing. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by our stripes we were healed. Thus atonement was attained the same day, at the same hour, at the same time. That day of Calvary, the sin question was answered. That day of Calvary, our sicknesses were paid for. God still healed the sick. Jesus is still in his healing business. Hallelujah. That is a full gospel. Not part gospel, but full gospel. Jesus saves and Jesus heals. That is all you have to do. Then he will come in. Then if you notice, a man knocking at the door is trying to gain entrance. And surely no man will knock at another man's door unless he has something important. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Or something that you thought was important to talk over with the man. Maybe tonight God is knocking your door. God wants to tell you something. God is trying to say, my friend, come home. You have wandered too far away. I have something to tell you. I love you. Oh, hallelujah. Come back home. I'm ready to receive you. I'm ready to wash you. I'm ready to cleanse you. I'm ready. Hallelujah. What an encouragement. Oh, I'm ready to heal you. I know you have prayed. You have fasted. You have been waiting on me. This is the hour. Amen. I'm knocking on the door. Amen. Just stretch your hand. Amen. Just open your heart. Amen. If he has nothing to tell you, he will not knock your door. Amen. God wants to commune with you. Amen. And a great man have knocked at doors through the ages. Every great man. But Abraham said in other messages, he said if Jesus or President Trump knocks your door and you look in the camera and you see that is the president. Whether you're a politician, whether you voted for him, you didn't vote for him, but the president of the United States is knocking your door. My. That would be the news on social media. The president has visited my home. Hallelujah. And he said, when he comes in, you don't give him limitation where to go and not where to go. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. If Jesus is knocking your door, then he has something to tell you. You see, this gospel that we have received is not bread and butter. When you eat the book, it becomes sweet in your mouth, but it becomes sour in your belly. It goes with persecution. But Abraham said the world can't accept this truth. So the world hates the people that hold the truth. Are we together, friends? But you must know what you are holding. If you don't know what you are holding, it will look less important to you. But no matter the persecution that you go through, let your anchor hold. I want to say again, let your anchor hold. Let us read some scriptures. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 5 to 10. This is Paul talking here. He said, in stripes, in imprisonment, in tumult, in labors, in watching, in fasting, in by pureness, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and the left hand, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report. Amen. Come on, church. Amen. Not just good report, but by evil report. As deceived, yet true. As unknown, yet well known. As dying, and behold, we live. As chastised and not killed. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, yet possessing all things. Do you know how uncomfortable was it for the prophet to climb these mountains to go and seek the face of God for revelation? Look at the weather here. Imagine. And yet he goes and cries. And the pastor was telling me yesterday, he said, he goes and take water down there. You might think he's just taking the water just here. He must go deeper and fetch water. Yet, God did not want his comfort. God wanted your comfort. Amen. This gospel is driven with blood. The blood of the disciples. The blood of the apostles. The blood of the prophets. Just to gain revelation. And why did God visit him in the comfort of his home? Oh, Lord, have mercy on us. We have comfort seat, but we don't want to come to church. We just want to sit home and press play. That is not God's order. God's order is not to neglect the fellowship of the saints. As we fellowship around the word, we fellowship around one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing us from all sins. When you go on a mission field in Malawi or somewhere in Uganda, the people don't come to sit on pews to listen to the gospel. They sit on the ground. Yeah. Not hard floor, they sit on the dirt. In the hot sun. Yeah. There are places I go when I'm preaching, I have to be holding water bottle. But those people love the Lord. Yeah. When you go through any sort of persecution, it doesn't mean God hates you. Right. When we read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32 to 40, it says here, and what shall I more say? For time will fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, of Jephthah, and of David also, and of Samuel, and of the prophets, even including Brother Abraham, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Escaped the edge of a sword? My. Out of weakness were made strong, once valiant in fight of the sword, once valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured. Does God hate them? Or are they not Christian? Come on, church. Hallelujah. Not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Yet we can't contain when our neighbors speak into our face. We can't contain when our boss speaks bad about us. Lord, have mercy. That they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had a trial of cruel mocking and scourgings. Yeah, moreover, of bonds and of imprisonment. Most of the letters written by Paul was written in a prison. Yet he was God's messenger. Blessed be the name of the Lord. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens, oh God, and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, amen, regardless of what they went through.
Right.
Why do you stop coming to church? Because the pastor stepped on my toes. Come on. Why do you want to come to church? Because that sister did not shake my hand last Sunday. And I was sick. Nobody visited me. I have lost confidence in the pastor. You are not worshiping God for the pastor. You are worshiping God for your soul. Look at what they went through. And then in all these, having obtained a good report, through faith, received not a promise. With all that they went through. Oh Lord, have mercy. God, having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. God is waiting on the 11-hour workers. We are the final voice of the final generation. We are the people God is counting upon us. And there is a great cloud of witness looking unto us. And they are shouting, oh, press on my brother. Keep pressing on my sister. It will not be long. And all will be over. All the criticism will be over. And after the hall of criticism, God is going to hang you in the hall of fame. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. What is a Christian life without trials? My. What is a Christian life without trials and temptation? Friends, God is real. And God is true to his word. I know everybody knows the story of Michelangelo, the great masterpiece. He took all his life. He had a vision of whom he thought Moses was. And nobody knows the vision except him that had a vision. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. And every believer must have a vision. Every ministry must have a vision. Every church must have a vision. That no one knows, but you know. And you know, and you know, you know. And you don't know because they say, but you know because you know. Oh, come on, church. And he spent years to carve that sculpture. And when he finished, oh, glory, hallelujah. That sculpture looked real. Like the Moses in his vision. And when you look at it, said, this is how Moses looked like, yet I wanted to speak. Yeah. And Moses spoke to me, and Moses was not speaking. So he took the cloth and he struck the knee. Speak! And Moses was still not speaking. And when he finished, oh, what have I done? I spent all my life. And after all this, this is what I've done? And when others came to view the sculpture, what is a nice artifact? Yet they go and they saw a hole on the knee. And they pass by. But you know what? Brother Abraham says, that flaw, oh, praise the Lord, on the knee of Moses, that made the sculpture a masterpiece. What the world is criticizing about the message, that make it the cream of the crop. Hey, whether the angels came on a mountain or not, or whether the prophet was there on the 28th February or not, God came down. Oh, hallelujah. You see, these coffers, men of reprobate mind, as James and Jambres withstood Moses, we expect them to withstand in this day. And God even made sure
that physically there was no record to prove that Abraham was there on that day to give room for them. But when you read the book of Exodus, the cloud waited for Moses for 7 days. Come on, church. No one was there than Moses and the cloud. And that same God had visited us in this generation. If the 7 angels came down on 28 February 1963, the 7 angels came down. Whether the prophet was there or not there is not my business. But what we must also know in the scriptures, that God was able to catapult Philip from Jerusalem to Gaza. And those in the convention with Jerusalem will say, we just shake his hand, God bless you. And those in Gaza will say, he just preached and baptized us here. That is God. We don't have time to look at the Canada and Brenage when if he should have taken just light, how can he make it to Gaza? But that is God. Even the scripture says there were many things that happened in the ministry of Jesus that the scribe couldn't put it down. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Are we together, friends?
Amen.
That flaw in the image of that Moses artifact that they were criticizing was the masterpiece.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
You see, there is an image. There is a painting in Rome, painting that when you see it, is nothing to look at. Hallelujah. But Abraham said, when you go there, they will tell you to come and nail down that design, that drawing, and they will tell you to look up. So when you nail down and look up, you will see Jesus hanging on the cross. That is when you know what you are actually being. But when you are looking at prayer, you might not understand the reality. Come and see. Don't stand back there and criticize. Come closer. Oh, come again. I came last week. Come again. Keep coming. Keep reading. Keep listening to the tape. Hallelujah. And God will make himself real to you. For the fact that you are being criticized is a sign to you, you are having a real thing. You see children, you guys don't throw stones at mangoes here. Back home, when you see children throwing stones on mango, it's because the mango tree, they are ripe ones that they want to catch. So they don't just throw stones for anything or any else. God has a reason and God has a purpose for all that he's doing. God allowed these things to come. Amen and amen. It is coming to shake our faith. It's coming to position us where we belong. It's coming to separate the chaff from the wheat. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. There is another image also that was being drawn in Germany. It's called a cloud. So when you look far at that image, it looks nothing. And people criticize that image. But when you get close, Brother Abraham says his angel's wing beating together. When you stay from far, you criticize what you don't know. You criticize what you don't understand. When they went far, they saw angels' wing beating. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. And at that day, when Dr. Best and the rest of the theologians were criticizing the prophet ministry in Houston, Texas, that was the day the pillar of fire came down. That I am confirming this message that you are criticizing. Why didn't God allow it to appear any other day than that day? And why did God permit other pictures to be blank and that one alone? Oh, come on, church. Through the hall of critics, God made that picture to be in the hall of fame. That when you go to Washington in your country here, you will see it in the hall of religious fame. Why was not any other day but that day? When the developer came, he said something here. He said, William Branham, you might die like any other person, but as long as Christian civilization lives long, this picture will always be remembered. Friends, we have something to look at. I want to read from the Identified Masterpiece of God, paragraph 220, 64-1205. But Abraham says something here. Just remember, all masterpieces, before they can ever put in the Hall of Fame, they have to go through the Hall of Critics first. The critics have to see if they can criticize it. But when it stands the critics, then it took the Hall of Fame. God's Son passed through the critics of every organization, denomination, even till Pilate said, I find no fault in him. Right. Judas said, I betrayed the innocent blood. Then God raised him up and he hung him in the great Hall of Fame today at the right hand of God, making intercessions. Don't you want to join him there? Don't you want to be part of that? You can be. You are invited to be. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We have many, many things to look up to. What God has placed before us in our day. Let us read one scripture in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 20, I believe. When you know the ministry God has given the devil, you don't bother yourself because he is fulfilling his work. Sorry, Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, rather. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. Who is the accuser of the brethren? Is Satan. That is his job. That is his ministry. That is what he is anointed to do. He is an accuser of the brethren. And he can do nothing than to fulfill that ministry. I want to read from Shalom 640112, paragraph 216. You say, but Brother Abraham, what about my mother and dad? What about my people? What about my denomination? What will they do? They will cast me out. If you can't look ahead, look up. Don't try to look ahead anyhow. Don't try to look ahead. Anyhow, put your hand in his. Let him lead you. Look up. Don't look ahead. You say, why others make fun about me, about my long hair, and me taking off shorts, and about me leaving church, the church. Suffering for his name's sake is growing pains of his grace. When you are being chastised and persecuted for his name's sake, is a growing pains of his grace. Yes, sir. Remember, it is the grace of God that has been given to you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In another message, God's word calls for total separation from unbelief. He said, no matter what the price the world has to say about it out there, or how many scornful or laughers or critics, that doesn't bother a person that is totally separated from the things of the world to the things of God. I'm not moved by what people say. Hallelujah. A person that is separated from the things of the world, no matter how many critics, it doesn't move them. Right. Hallelujah. Amen. They will obey the word and separate themselves from the things of the world because the word separates them. I know they stand criticism, but if we wasn't criticized, then there will be something wrong. Jesus said, if all men love you, go on to you. Oh, you are a good pastor. You are a lovely man of God. We all love you. The church love you. No, I don't expect everybody to love him. Because nobody's going to, and not everybody's going to be happy with the decision God lead him to do. The same way not everybody's going to love you. You must come to that recognition. The same way the world will not love you. The world will hate you because they hated him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The world always knows its own. But as I've said that, remember, criticism on account of the word of God is only growing pains of his grace. It shows that you have separated yourself to be Christian, to act like one, to live like one, to obey every commandment of God, and it's a Nazareth vow to separate a call from God that separates you from the things of the world. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. But Abraham continued in the message taking side with Jesus. He said, but look, paragraph 139. But look, that's nothing to do with it. It's a devil trying to throw a shadow on you. They are always trying to point to you of some old ship that God wrecked upon the seashore. But they are not pointing you to that one that has made the voyage safely. Oh, can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Can the sister say amen?
Amen?
The devil will always point you to an old backslider.
Yeah.
Come on, church.
Yeah.
You see what is happening around? They will quickly make a podcast. Oh, this happened in Arizona. But they are not pointing to the other churches that has made the right voyage. And they will use that to attack us all. That is devil, Satan, the accuser of the brethren. Blessed be the name of the Lord. They are not pointing you to that one that has made the voyage safely. That is right. See, they are always trying to throw a crowbait out there and say, this is example. Here's what he did. I know of a certain preacher that was of a holiness preacher and did this and did that and all that. But they don't point out others that wasn't holiness did also what they did. They don't point the great things that God did. All those criticizing this message, they never deny the supernatural presence of God. They never deny the miracles and the healing, the blind seeing. They never deny all the supernatural discernment. So how can the teachings be wrong? And the same God will vindicate the liar. That is not the God I worship. The God I worship will stand by his way. Satan is accuser of the brethren. And don't be anointed by Satan here to accuse your brethren. If you begin to work for Satan, oh, how do I work for Satan? When you start to accuse your brethren, Satan has given you an appointment letter. It's not your business. Come on. It's God's business. Blessed be the name of the Lord. They won't talk about that one. Is that like somebody say, oh, here is a man one that went too far. He went too far. He must have done that. He wrecked himself up. He went too far. He became a fanatic. He might have done that. But why they are pointing to how many that have went? One that went too far, how about the millions that never went far enough? Oh, hallelujah. They fail to see that. See what I mean? So the people try. Them Pharisees and Sadducees and the hypocrites and the Herodians and all tried to cast a shadow on Jesus. But them true believers, that was predestinated to hear that message, heard it, and see no fault in it at all. And I want to say tonight by the word of the Lord, I see no fault in this message. I said, I see no fault in my prophet. God said, I'm God's voice to you. Oh, Abraham lied. And God said, he's my prophet. God, did you see him lie? That Sarah is the sister? He is my prophet. Those true believers that heard the message and seen it, see no fault in it. Same now. Hallelujah. Those who believe him, love him. Do you love him? Those who believe him, see no fault in him. They don't see any heresy. They don't see anything wrong. They don't see anything wrong with his word. They don't see anything wrong with his people. The only way to love God is to love his people. And we don't see anything wrong with God's people. Neither do we see anything wrong in God's word. It has been scripturally vindicated. It has been geographically been vindicated. Hallelujah. And it is supernaturally been vindicated. We see no fault in him. They don't see anything wrong with his people. They just see Jesus. Oh, the psalmist said, all I want to see is Jesus. That's all. They are predestinated to eternal life. So they just take sides with Jesus and stay dead. Oh, I have heard, but I have seen. Paragraph 52. Just wrap up in closing. So now Satan had come up before God, because he could come before God and accuse the Christians or the believers for all the time. So he accused Job of many things and said, Job, the reason he could serve God because everything was coming good for him. But said, if you just let me have him in my hands, I'll make him curse you to your face. Job was not serving God because he had everything. Job was serving God by revelation. If it was because of the money he had, he would have turned his back to God when all went away. We are serving God because God has called us to serve him. Let me read this in closing, in the end time evangelism. He said, remember one time there were some children down in the fairy furnace. They were holding true to that word. Everything went wrong. You mean they are holding true to the word? And everything went wrong? Sometimes God permits that. God permits the crossroads. It doesn't mean you are not holding to the word. It means you are holding to the word. Everything went wrong. They threw them in the jail. They kept them overnight. They was going to burn them up the next morning. And looked like the end was near. They was walking right up to the furnace, but he came riding down to change the scene. Was all changed just in a moment. My friends, can you believe God can change your scene in a moment? You believe God can change your status in a moment? In a moment. In the twinkling of the eye. Oh, hallelujah! God can heal you in a moment. God can deliver you in a moment. God can fill the Holy Ghost in a moment. God can draw you close to himself in a moment. In a moment, all things can change. In a moment, you begin to feel good. Hallelujah! Blessed be the name of the Lord. They kept them over the night. And they was going to burn them the next morning. Between tonight and next morning, a lot can happen for you. A lot can happen for you. It looked like the end was near. They was walking right up to the furnace. But he came riding down to change the scene. Was all changed. In a moment. Tonight Jesus is passing by. To change your sin. To change my sin. To change your sin. Oh, gloria a Dios. Hallelujah. It's always in them weakest moments. When it looks like the true message is about defeated. That's when God step in. That is when I must decrease for him to increase. Oh, glory be to God. He let a message and the messenger get to the end of the road and see. Then he comes in and rise. the high waves. I will be with you. I am always with you. Even with you to the end of the world. I will be with you in the waters. I will be with you in the fires. I will be with you in your trouble. I will be with you in your condition. I have never leave you. I am with you. You remember the story? The footprint of the sons of time? He was walking along with him. Oh Lord, I love you. Jesus, you are my best friend. Come close to me. Let me feel your presence. And when you walk, you look, the feet were walking together. Hallelujah. And you go to a place, and there was only one feet. Yeah. Ah, this man promised to be with me all over the world. And now he has left me. Oh, Lord, I thought you loved me. How come you are not close? Say, my friend, the time you were seeing that single feet, that is the time I carried you. Because the burden was too heavy. So that was my feet. That was not your feet. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. God is wonderful. God is real. I remember some years ago I preached this message among some denominational folks in Uganda. And they were under a bishopress, or how do you call it? A woman preacher. And he said, if you guys have left me and you are getting baptized in Jesus' name, give me my chest. Give my everything. But those people went under trees and they sat on the floor and listened to the gospel. You take the whole world and give me Jesus. We have come too far to look back. When it looks like the message is about to be defeated, when it looks like the news and the media is blacklisting the message, when it looks like it's being defeated, that is when God steps in. This message has become real more than it was 60 years ago. Come on, I want to say that again. God is vindicating his word every day, every now, in every service. He's making himself real. Hebrews 13 verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father. So remember, it was Jesus when his enemies thought that they had him defeated. Remember the first scripture we read? If the princes of this world, if they knew crucifying the Lord of glory, who make many Jesus sit down here in Tucson, the devil would not have done that. So we have got him on the cross. The Sadducees and the Pharisees, who hated him and hung him to the cross, they thought, we have got him now. The devil might think he has gotten you now. But you tell the devil, just wait and see what my God is going to do. Just wait and see, he's still the great physician. Just wait and see, he's still the balm in Gilead. His arm is not too short to deliver. Oh, you Satan speaking to my mind, confusing me about this message. I am resolved no longer to be confused. They thought they have gotten him. It was about a time God rounded the scene and raised him up on the Easter morning and broke the kingdom of Satan and stripped hell and took the keys of death and hell and rose up with them. Sure, it was at that weak time his message, he had preached the word, he had stood by the word and everything, then it was that real weak moment that when the victory come, when he had done all that he could do, then God came in and changed the scene. Amen. Can the musicians resume their seats? Maybe it is the weakest moment in your life. Maybe it is the weakest moment in your stage of cancer. Maybe the doctor have told you nothing can be done. Maybe you are being criticized everywhere that you are ashamed of this message and the prophets. Maybe you have been down. Maybe you have been sick. Maybe you don't know where you belong. Maybe you don't know why you come to church. Maybe you don't even know why you sleep in tonight. It's because God wants to change your sin. But Abraham told a story in time-tested memorial. Said when great Augustus, when he won that great famous battle, they were going to give him a celebration in Rome. And he wanted a man to ride with him. He said, God has blessed me. I want some man to ride with me to share my blessing. And he went through the camp. Officers have trimmed everything. Neat people ready to march past with him. Real bright, sparkling sword and everything. And everybody was saluting the king. He said, everyone walked by the big armor before him. And he sat down on the throne watching. Yeah. Oh, hallelujah. And they'll make a salute. Caesar shook his head. He walked away. Another will come. Strong men. Great men. Generals. Captains. He shook his head. Time after time. Soldier after soldier. And finally, way down the line, come a little footman. He didn't even have any shoe to polish. Neither did he have a plume to trim. But he woke up in front of Caesar. He didn't even know how to make a right kind of salute. While others come by the king, and he came in. He didn't even know how to make a right kind of salute. But he just bowed his head and walked away. Oh, hallelujah. Can you play I Feel the Pool? There are angels softly all around me. Then Caesar said, wait a minute. Who are you? Come back here. He walked up there and looked at him. There are scars all over his face. Cut, disfigured, and crippled. He said, where did you get this scars at? And that man said, out in a battle, fighting for my Lord, Caesar. Quickly, the king said, come here and sit up by my side. Have you thought how many military men who criticized that rude looking guy? But he was going through the hall of critics. He didn't shine his shield or his plume. But he has scars of the battlefield. In this battlefield, we have been cut deep. Disappointed, rejected, dejected. The news, everything. Say, come up and sit by me. You are the one that has been tested and bruised. Oh, brother, is plum trimming time. It's not educational days. It's time testing time. It's only those believers that will stand the test of time in the face of scornfuls and jays and jambres. They are the one that is going to sit on the throne. Those that overcome will sit with me as I overcome and I sit in the throne of my fathers. It's a time. Hallelujah. He said, it's a time that God is testing his church. Amen. Are you going to turn your back against this message? Oh, hallelujah. It's time God is testing the church. To find the battle scars of hard trials. Amen. They have gone through everything. They have gone through scorned mockeries. That's the one who ride by his side. Are you willing to ride by his side tonight? Why don't you stand to your feet? I feel the pool, I feel the pool. I feel the pool. I hear your call.
speaks to me. Oh yes, and I agree.
Lord, please come. Dear brother, my dear sister, when he sings the message, he's being defeated. That is when God steps in. I don't know your struggles. I don't know your temptation. I might not know the condition you find yourself in. But I want to tell you, I feel the pull tonight that God is about to change the scene. God is going to reassure you of your faith. God is going to pardon you. The Lord is going to revive you back and to restore you back to fellowship, to cleanse you, to anoint you, to empower you. Oh, the Lord is about to heal you and vindicate your faith. Why don't you begin to speak to Him this time around? If you feel the pull of His presence, why don't you open your mouth and talk to Him? Even those watching online or whatever you are hooking up, the same angel of the Lord is standing right there beside you. Speak to Him. Whatever is your desire, Jesus is knocking at your door. You got to lift the latch for Him to come in. If you need salvation tonight, He's here to save you. If you need healing, He's here to heal you. He's here to make you whole. He's here to make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. I can feel the pull around me. That is, angels are here to minister unto you. Oh, blessed be thy holy name. Talk to Him right now. Speak to Him. He has something important to tell you. He wants to tell you something important. My child, yeah, I am. Amen. Give me your hand and I will lift you above every storm. I will deliver you from every infirmity. I will touch your back pain. I will touch your waist pain. I will touch your knee pain. I will take away the diabetes. I will heal you of that cancer. I will minister grace unto you. Oh, glory and hallelujah.
Oh, I feel.